All right, do a little testing. 1, 2, 3.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
All right, you're whispering. I need you talking. Testing 1, 2, 3.
We go through this all the time.
Here, do an audio test. No. Testing 1, 2, 3. testing. Put your headsets on, my friend. So let's try it again.
All right, testing 1, 2, 3.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right, testing 1, 2, 3 on my end. And while Sevi tries to figure out left from right.
I know, Sevi. It's torture.
It's not a Rubik's Cube. It's a headset.
There you go.
If I have to cough or clear my throat, is there like a special button for
No,
that?
You don't cough and you don't clear your throat. You just hold it in and let your head fall off if it happens.
Okay, fair enough.
There is no bodily functions on this show, okay? Oh, so gosh. Keep your act together, my friend. Welcome to episode 28 of Black, White, and Blue in the South, a podcast discussing Democratic politics with a Southern flair. I'm Bill Kimmler.
I'm Jameel Brooks.
And I'm Sevi Alvarez.
Oh, hey, we've got a guest with us today.
Yay.
But before we go with why Sevi is here with us, I must ask that if you like what you hear in this episode, please leave a rating and a review. Tell your friends about us. Follow us on social media. Or better yet, help us understand Donald Trump's position on reproductive rights.
Oh, Lord.
You see, he's not pro-choice. He's not pro-life. Apparently, he's anti-birth. Take a listen to this.
Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the 9th month. It is wrong. It has to change.
Oh, my gosh. You are kidding me.
So what do you say, Jameel? Should states make it illegal for babies to be born up until the 9th month out of their mother's wombs?
Yes, if they will turn out like him. Mm-hmm. Yep, I'm going to go with it.
I'm struggling to figure out what he actually meant to say. Was it really that?
You and everybody else in the universe. Let us know what you think by dropping us a note at blackwhiteblueinthesouth@gmail.com. Send us your comments, questions, and topic ideas. You can find us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Threads, and Mastodon. We share video clips of our episodes and links to news articles that'll make you more informed. We also have a Linktree page that can connect you to everything, so look at those show notes, where we'll have that and links to all material mentioned in today's episode. Hey, Jameel.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, Sevi.
Hey, how's it going?
Super fantastic. Thank you for asking. What are you doing at our table today? Would you mind informing the audience why you're here with us?
Well, just yesterday, I announced my campaign to run for South Carolina Senate in District 11 against Josh Kimbrell.
Woo! Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, we'll definitely get into details about that campaign. We want to hear more about it. But first, Jameel, we've got a couple of more reviews of our podcast. Did you know that?
Okay, let's go.
I share them with you?
Please do.
All right. The first review comes from a username called Yuku Haley. Uku Haley. UKU Haley.
Okay.
Uku Haley. Now, I have no idea who this is or what their voice sounds like, but here's an AI voice guest.
Yeah.
Worth listening to. It can be so confusing trying to get a good, reliable take on what's going on in local politics. This podcast is such a help. I always come away from listening more informed and ready to support causes and candidates that will make South Carolina better.
Aw, thank sweet. You, Yuka Haley.
Yeah, thanks.
And I hope you're as bubbly as that voice makes you out to be. It's probably a truck driver, right? A 300-pound burly truck driver. But you know what? We can only guess.
Yeah.
All right, this next review comes from Grandma Cherie.
Okay.
All right, now, I don't know what Grandma Cherie sounds like, but I took a guess with the best voice I had available.
I'm ready.
I enjoy this podcast. It proves there are Democrats in South Carolina. Democrats don't lose elections 25-75. It's almost always close. Please don't forget about us here. These folks do a great job distilling the news of the state.
So thank you. Thank you, Grandma.
That's a good review.
Thank you.
That was very sweet of you.
Yes.
Hey, before we go into any topics, do you have anything you want to share? You good?
I'm good. I think I'm good.
Sevi, anything before we get into your campaign?
Don't think so, no.
How was your drive here?
It was very pleasant.
You know? Now, you're from, what, north of Spartanburg? Spartanburg itself?
I live in the city of Spartanburg, actually.
Okay, so that's a heck of a drive. It's about 70 miles.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, well, we appreciate you coming all the way down here.
Yeah, no problem. There wasn't much traffic on the road. It was a very pleasant drive.
Well, great.
Fired up! Ready to go!
Fired up!
Ready to go!
This is the part of our episode where we cover our campaigns. As you know, I am running for State House in South Carolina in District 13.
And I am running for State House in South Carolina, District 12.
And as we heard from Sevi,
I am running for South Carolina State Senate, District 11.
Ooh. Wonderful. We got all the numbers handled
we
up here.
11, 12, 13.
So we want to talk about our campaigns a bit. But before we go into any detail, Sevi, that little clip that we just played, have you heard that before?
I had not. It was the first time.
Are you familiar with the fired up, ready to go Obama rallying cry?
No, actually.
Okay. That actually is something that Obama took nationwide at every rally where he would have tens of thousands of people in attendance and the whole crowd be chanting, fired up, ready to go. And it all started here in Greenwood, South Carolina. So I will refer you back to episode, was it 24, 25? We actually played the full story where Obama told that story about how he came to Greenwood and met the amazing, incredible, legendary Edith Childs.
Yay, Edith.
And in a small room with very few attendees, and he wasn't feeling so hot, this lady in the back just shouted, fired up. And the whole rest of the crowd went ready to go. And she said, fired up. And they said, ready to go. Anyhow, I'll let Obama tell it. I'll refer you to his words. They are unreproducible. And so we used that to open up. You know, we had our convention yesterday. The Greenwood County Democratic Party convention on Saturday, March 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lot of first-time candidates speak. Two for U.S. Congress in SC3.
Yeah.
Two for State Senate, District 10. You had yourself for House and myself for House. And then we also had a school board candidate speak up, and her election is in May. And what's really funny is I didn't realize it until last night. I'm the only one up there that's run for office before.
Yeah.
Everybody else was first-time runners.
Yeah.
In fact, as I'm sitting in this room, I think, no, that's not true. You've run for office before, haven't you?
I did, actually. I ran for city council for Spartanburg in 2021.
So there's nothing like running that first time to give you an idea of what it's like.
Mm.
And so a lot of first-time candidates, and I just want to go up and hug each and every one of them and say, you did a good job. Good for you. You're so brave. So I noticed that. I had joked to you before the meeting that I hadn't written my speech yet and that all I was going to do was steal your speech highlights. Like I wanted to go up there and talk about bridging the gap, and I was going to go up there and talk about sowing the seeds and filling the bag and not tell you about it because, yeah, I just wanted to see your reaction as I start using Jamil's greatest hits on stage.
Yeah.
But then again, I realized there's other people there besides myself.
Yes.
And I can't just be there to entertain me as much as I wish that was the case. So I came up with my own speech.
Yeah.
But I think everything went well.
I think so.
You have any observations from our convention?
Just that I love that it's growing. I just see it getting better. And I was so proud that we had so many candidates that were available to speak. So it's not like you got to go and find the people. Like, who's running? Who is this person? We brought them right to Greenwood and said, here they are. And here's what they have to say.
I'd say we had about 80 in attendance that came out, which was great. We had a lot of food, a lot of activities. We had a station where you can get training on how to use SC Votes to look up registration. We had a trivia section using the amazing questions you came up with.
Yeah.
We had a section for postcard writing with some pre-written messages for people to write to, you know, Senator Billy Kitty Litter. I mean, Senator Billy Garrett. We had meet and greet stations. We had a lot of stuff to do. But really, I'll tell you this, nobody really took up on those activities.
You know where they went? They went two places.
The food and the bathroom.
No, Bill. They were at the candidates table. They were catching candidates. So the group that came yesterday were focused. When you said a meet and greet table, as soon as we said, all right, thank you, this has been a great day, go ahead and participate in the other activities, they were focused. They got right up from their seats and went right to the meet and greet. And I thought, oh, how cool is that?
I guess if I was to have one that most people went to, it would be to talk to these candidates. Because many of them, again, first timers, people don't know them. People want to get to know them.
Yeah.
There's one thing I observed that I took a note on. I want to try to put this right. Our spouses don't like to be involved in our politics. Is that right?
Yes.
And so I bring that up for two reasons.
Okay.
One, when I show up to an event, you have gotten into the habit of correcting my dress.
Oh my God.
My attire. I love it because I walk out of the house looking like a slob. My collar is hanging loose on one side, tucked in. And then you just don't even say anything. You just come up to me and you fix it. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate you because my wife doesn't want anything to do with me getting dressed up, going out in politics. And so the fact that you're there is like my backup, making sure that I don't have lint on my coat or whatever. Man, you are wonderful. So thank you for that. The second thing is just to tell you how bad it is with my wife not wanting to be involved. She doesn't want a thing to do with politics.
Okay.
We swapped cars yesterday because I needed her vehicle to bring some equipment over. But I left her my key, but she wanted her car back.
Yeah.
So she came to the event in the middle of the convention to swap cars. Now, we only have one key for my car, so she needed to get me that key.
Yeah.
She came and she looked in the window at the front door and saw the packed room, and she's like, I don't want any part of this. I'm not walking in here, and I don't know what I'm going to do. Fortunately, our third vice chair, Matthew Miller, who works with my wife,
okay,
he happened to step outside to take a phone call, and so she just threw the key at him and said, give this to Bill. But she was telling me later that she was like thinking about hiding it in a tree somewhere and sending me the geocache of where it is, and I can go find it later. It's like she was like, it was all she could do not to walk into that building.
Wow.
Which
wow.
I thought was funny.
Yeah.
Did you guys in Spartanburg have your convention yet?
Actually, we had ours yesterday too, yeah.
Okay. Did you attend?
I did.
And how did it go there?
It went really well. Ours was a lot leaner. I think no candidates spoke. It was all about just electing the officers. So we went in, we were there for like 2 hours, and then we were out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, for us, our officers, obviously, I'm the chair, Jamil is first vice chair. We're already in the proper cycle, so we'll be up for election next year, while all the other counties got into the cycle this year.
Mm-hmm.
But we did elect precinct leaders and delegates to the state convention, which really had me nervous because we have 50 precincts in Greenwood. I think Spartanburg has 192. I don't know, a lot more precincts.
It's like 100, yeah.
Yeah. So we have 50. And with the online form and the advertising we did, we only had 7 sign up to be a precinct leader, which was discouraging. But when we got there and we voted on those 7 and they were accepted unanimously, there was another 14, 15 that felt moved to stand up and they nominated themselves from the floor.
I think sometimes even after you read, one, I think that there's a hurdle. What is a precinct leader? So I think once you've read what it is and what the responsibilities are, it kind of lowers your gate of acceptance. But then when you hear people talk about it and you notice the passion in the room, before you know it, you're raising your hand saying, yes, I would like to be a precinct leader. So it's just about getting people used to what does that role consist of?
Yeah, actually, a similar thing happened in the Spartanburg County Convention. Only, I think, about 10 people signed up online to be precinct leaders. But then, like, during the convention, I don't know, almost maybe 20 more people signed up. So it was really encouraging to see.
Yeah.
Well, we love your chair, Catherine Harvey.
Yes.
Yeah,
she's amazing.
She's fantastic. I'm really happy that she won re-election.
Yeah, she was challenged too, wasn't she?
She was, yeah.
Why was she challenged if she's been doing such a great job?
It's
something
a
happened?
Nothing happened that I'm aware of. You'd have to ask the guy that challenged her, honestly.
Oh, I'm trying to get some dirt in the Spartanburg.
And it's
Dems.
Not working. It's not working.
I know, man. You're a true politician. You ain't falling for it. All right. We'll have to cut that whole segment out.
Nice try.
Good job, Sandy.
Yep. I can see I'm not dealing with no Rube from the woods here. You're well seasoned.
Yep.
We have a couple of upcoming events that we're speaking at. In fact, Jamil, I think you're speaking at a place tomorrow. Is that right? Where is that?
Little River Multicultural Center. This is the area-wide revival for the churches, Baptist churches. So we'll be there tomorrow.
And I'm actually speaking there the day after, too.
You are.
So I'm going to show up tomorrow at yours. I'm going to record your speech, and I'm just going to give the same thing on Tuesday, if that's all right.
You keep saying that, and you never do, so you're
not.
Yeah,
well, one day I'm going to surprise you. So I'm looking forward to that. How many people do you think attend this thing?
I don't know. And I think it depends on who's actually speaking, the speaker of that night. Typically, you follow your pastor. So if it's a really large church, you can expect to see a big crowd for that particular person who's going to speak that night. So I don't know.
Okay. Well, I'm excited to do it. I absolutely get a thrill about speaking in front of people. Uh-huh. I mean, I don't ever really feel anxiety about it. Yeah. It's just, I don't know. I just love it. And the bigger the crowd, the better. I don't know how you are in public speaking.
I don't know. It's a light switch for me.
Yeah.
You know me. I'll flow behind the scenes and push everybody else. But if you ever give me a microphone, then I got something to say. But if you don't, I'll just hang out back here and push everybody else to success. So
that's right. How about you, Sevi? You like public speaking?
I don't love it. I get nervous, but you know, I overcome it and I do okay.
All right.
Good.
Well, Sevi, we're going to turn our attention to you now.
Okay.
We want to get to know you a little bit more. You came to my attention when you testified at a House hearing a couple of months back, I think it was January, where there was a bill was it 4664? Do I have the number right?
4624, I think.
4624, thank you. Where they were going to just outright ban all medical treatment and mental health care treatment for trans youth. And it was just nuts. Now, I'm not a trans individual. I don't have anybody in my family or any direct relationships that would have been affected. So I had a point of view that I thought of that I thought was interesting. But then I saw you testify and you used the exact same point I was going to make, but you did it 10 times better than I ever could. So that's how you came to my attention. How did you know that we broadcast your clip?
I saw somebody post it on social media. I think maybe my wife told me about it. I don't remember exactly where I heard about it, but yeah. I saw that I was on your show and I was flattered.
Yeah. Then Sevi reached out to me in Texas. Hey, I heard you, thank you for replaying my testimony, which I thought you did a bang up job. Now I'm curious.
Thank you.
Do you have any trans relationships directly in your life?
Nobody in my family, but I do have some friends in Spartanburg. One activist in particular. I don't know if she would want me to say her name, but yeah, I know people who are trans who would be directly affected by this. And, you know, it's a shame. We need to stop it.
And I really admired the fact that even though you were not directly impacted, you still felt compelled to go and testify on the behalf of your friends and others, even those that you don't know. You were testifying for them.
Yeah, you know, these folks need allies. That's the bottom line, and I want to be an ally.
We appreciate you for that. Absolutely. So you are running. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to refer you back to episode 21. We played your clip at the beginning of that episode. So if you want to hear Sevi, go back and listen to that. So you are running for State Senate District 11. Tell me about the geography. What does that cover?
So if you imagine the city of Spartanburg as the bottom of an inverted pyramid, Spartanburg is the point of that pyramid. And then it goes all the way up to the border of North Carolina, and it includes Inman and Boiling Springs.
Did it get affected by the Senate district redrawing?
Only barely. Just a couple of precincts switched around, but it's, for the most part, still completely intact.
Here in the Greenwood and McCormick area, there was a major redrawing of the lines. And in fact, the current senator, we've mentioned his name a couple of times today, Billy Garrett, actually lives in McCormick County. And the current drawing of that district covers both McCormick, Greenwood, and a couple of other counties. So it's a bizarre drawing. With the redistricting, McCormick is out. And it's all of Greenwood plus a part of Saluda and Lexington. So it got really redrawn. So now our current senator lives outside of the state Senate district.
Interesting.
Today. And if he files to run for this same district, he has to move. He has to claim residency or prove residency in another county that's part of District 10.
Is he going to do that?
All indications are yes.
Wow.
Yep.
That's a little surprising, but I don't know the guy. So, all right.
It really is. So I watched your campaign announcement speech yesterday.
You did?
I did. Believe it or not, I actually sat there and watched it. You had a couple of people introduce you, including your wife.
That's right.
Which, you know, we opened it up earlier. We don't have spouses that would introduce us. What's that like? How nice is that?
You know, it's amazing. Liz is fantastic. I'm so lucky to have her. She's the light of my life.
How did you meet?
We met on an online dating site.
Hey.
Yeah, actually, the story of our first meeting is pretty interesting.
And you swiped right and picked her? Is that how that works? I don't know.
Well, I think that's how it works today. But back when I met her, like 10 years ago, you could actually look at people's profiles and send messages back and forth, which was nice. So that's what we did.
See, I grew up in the 80s where you did all that on videotape. Right. You would actually go to a studio. I didn't do this, but this is how it worked. So you would go to a studio. They would record you on a video cassette, like a VCR tape. And then you would get mailed these tapes if you were part of this service. And you could pop them in one at a time and watch and then kind of pick and choose.
Yeah, there was a Full House episode about that.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Okay, see? Backed up. Backed up. Jameel's looking at me like I'm crazy. But here, we have evidence. Okay. There's my proof. Full House.
True story.
That it happened. Well, that's awesome. So how do you feel your campaign announcement went in the morning?
I thought it went great. It was very well received. You know, I got applause from the audience who was there. No media showed up, so I was a little disappointed in that. But, you know, we're going to share the video, and hopefully it's going to catch on.
Mm-hmm. Now, you opened with a quote from President Dwight Eisenhower.
I did.
Which was pretty amazing. I'll read the quote for you because I won't make you say it, memorize it here.
Thank you.
So Dwight Eisenhower, former Republican president, said, quote, "Don't join the book burners. Don't think you are going to conceal faults by concealing evidence that they ever existed. Don't be afraid to go in your library and read every book."
Mm.
That was President Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Mm.
A Republican.
A Republican.
Yeah. So actually, Sevi, I'm going to do you the favor. I'm going to play a little clip of your announcement speech.
Uh-oh.
Here we go.
All right.
"Unfortunately, in recent years, there's been a resurgence of McCarthy-style antics, as libraries nationwide have come under attack for carrying titles by certain authors, or titles that contain LGBTQ content, or titles that tell stories written by or featuring people of color. In August of 2022, Senator Josh Kimbrell held a press conference across the street from the main branch of the Spartanburg County Library. He demanded that the library stop carrying various books or else he would cut their funding. Since then, South Carolina's libraries have come under attack by radical legislators across the state. Behind me, you can see the Boiling Springs Public Library. Today, I stand here before you in defense of our libraries. It is not the business of government to shield its people from ideas, and we must not give an inch as the book burners and the book banners seek to silence the voices of generations. I vow to oppose those efforts at every turn."
So whose idea was it to hold this conference on the in the middle of I-26?
It wasn't on I-26. It was right outside the Boiling Springs Public Library, and there was more traffic than we expected.
Yeah, the positioning was good, though. Library, and then your speech was oriented toward that. So I think the location was good.
Yeah, well, thank you. I thought so, too.
Yeah.
So you opened up already distinguishing yourself from your opponent, who is, you know, I looked him up, MAGA Republican Josh Kimbrell.
Almost, definitely.
He checks all the boxes of somebody who's, you know, an extremist.
Yes.
What was it that inspired you to say, damn it, I'm going to sign on the dotted line and become a candidate myself? Was there a breaking moment, or was it something that's built up gradually over time?
I've always thought about running for office, but for a long time, it was just sort of in the background of my mind. I didn't really seriously consider it until I started paying attention to what our state legislature was doing. And this is Josh Kimbrell, but it's also the Freedom Caucus. It's Senator Cash. There are just so many terrible people in our legislature.
Yes, there is.
Who are, I feel like they've lost the plot. They're not really representing their constituents. They're chasing the votes of an extreme radical fringe minority. I just felt like someone needed to stand up and do something about that. And if that someone needs to be me, then so be it. You know, here I am.
This wasn't a spontaneous decision on your part. You're not a nobody that came out of nowhere. You've been involved as an advocate for the marginalized groups for years.
I've been trying to, yeah. I guess I started becoming an activist or advocate and around late 2021, and I've been working on it ever since. Trying to defend marginalized groups, speaking out against bad legislation.
Speaking of speaking out, I came across a news article. You are so Googleable. It is adorable. It's great.
Okay.
You apparently confronted Josh Kimbrell at a legislative delegation meeting last May. Can you tell me about that?
I don't know if I would go as far as to say I directly confronted him, but I did call out the legislative delegation in Spartanburg for all of the terrible policies they have. You know, they're anti-abortion, they're pro-banning books, etc. And yeah, I did call them out, and I got a little heated. I probably said some things that I shouldn't have. Full disclosure, I was actually going through chemotherapy treatments at the time. So, you know, I was going through it a little bit. So I was a little mean, and he did respond to me confrontationally afterwards. So,
oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
He probably gave about a 30-second to 1 minute basically campaign speech telling me that I should move to New York or California. You know,
go back where you came from, right?
That classic line. Even though, you know, I grew up in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm a child of the South.
Oh, you're a Northerner.
Right? Is Charlotte not north of where you live now?
I'm going to pretend you didn't
is
say
it
that.
Is it not North Carolina? Yeah. That's something. And you know what? You brought it up. You said you were in chemotherapy and you had talked about it in your testimony at that House hearing. Yeah. Share with us now, what did you go through last year and how has it shaped your views as you run for office today?
Oh, gosh. Well, I guess first I had a month of radiation treatments. I had to go in every single day for a month. And that only took about 15 minutes each day, but, you know, it adds up. And then I had a month off from treatments, and then I went through chemotherapy, which is about 4 or 5 hours of getting injected with drugs once every 2 weeks. And then after that, I had to go through 2 major surgeries that took probably a good 6 months to recover from in total.
Wow. Abdominal surgery is no joke. I had that 2 years ago. I donated a kidney. So they cut me right down the middle, scooped out an organ, shipped it up north. And it was months. I mean, that's not just a simple wound you clear up from. It's painful. It's uncomfortable. There's no comfortable position you can get in while you're recovering.
True.
Yeah. You're not wrong. I like to sleep on my stomach, and I could not sleep on my stomach for like 5 months, and it was just the worst.
Wow.
What other policies, like obviously the book banning you're opposing and you want the freedom to read, what are some of your other major campaign platform points?
Yeah, a lot of this was actually informed by my cancer battle. I saw firsthand what people go through when they have to deal with a medical issue, and I don't want other people. I mean, I want other people to have an easier time than I do or than I did. The most important policy, I think, in my platform is that I want to preserve the medical freedom of everybody in South Carolina. And that includes people who need to get abortions, but it also includes people who need to get gender affirming care or give their kids gender affirming care. You know, when I had cancer, nobody told me that I can't have a certain treatment because it's against the law. You know what I mean? So I don't feel like anyone should do it.
Hey, all it takes is one legislator who has a moral objection to people fighting cancer. And next thing you know, it could become a law. Yeah. I mean, that's just how absurd it seems.
Yeah, I mean, it's scary. We need to protect our medical freedoms in this state. That's the bottom line there. I also think we need to expand Medicaid in South Carolina. That one's kind of a no-brainer. I feel like it's a point of shame for our state that we haven't done that already. You know, I think it was last year that North Carolina expanded it, and they have a Republican supermajority. So there's no reason that we shouldn't expand it as well.
Now, your opponent, Josh Kimbrell, has he announced that he wants to run again? Is that a foregone conclusion?
Yeah, he announced that late last year, I think.
All right. I tried to look up some of his legislative accomplishments, and you know, I came across a couple of his proposals. Here's one that I think is a pretty good idea. He wants elected officials to pass a constitutional competency test. Okay, I'm actually going to be for that, but doesn't he... What, Jamil?
Why? They're not going to follow it anyway.
True.
So, I mean, let's not even waste the people's time with thinking that if you pass this test, you're going good. What's going to happen is one person going to get the other person the answers in the Senate. They all going to have the answers to the test. Go take the test. It becomes an administrative checkbox that is not going to change how you govern. How you are governing now is what you're going to do once you pass the Constitution test. You are who you are.
Well, and that test ain't gonna change. Questions can be randomized. It's like the SATs. You can't really give answers away.
Bill, test or no test, they still going to be doing.
I disagree with you. I think this is a great idea. I really think that an elected official should know the basics of constitutional law. And the other side benefit you're not thinking of is that it'll knock out half the Republican legislators from ever running again.
I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I'm saying it's not going to change anything.
Donald Trump would never have qualified to run on the presidential ticket in South Carolina.
They don't need him to qualify. That's how bad they want it.
Right. But if they pass this law and he could not pass that test, I say that's a good thing.
This is our first disagreement.
No.
Our first real one. The other one didn't count.
Oh, it did.
You think Chick-fil-A counted?
I'm still burning over that one.
You lost that one, though.
Oh, I did not lose. Whoa. Now you're talking revisionist history.
Okay, go.
Sevi, where do you fall in that position?
You know, I think it's dangerous to talk about putting additional requirements on people who run for office. I feel like that tends to give a disadvantage to new people who want to become politicians but aren't there yet, and it gives an advantage to people who are already in office. So I'm not so sure about that. I'd have to think about it some more.
Fair enough.
Like an uneven playing field.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my.
Now, before Josh Kimbrell was in that office, this seat was held by a Democrat.
Yeah, for 30 years.
Glenn Reese, and he lost it in 2020 to Josh Kimbrell, which was quite that same year we lost Floyd Nicholson here in Greenwood. Same deal. And now the kitty litter Senator Billy Garrett has that seat. So something happened in 2020 where Biden may have won the presidency, but a lot of South Carolina lost some very good people who represented their districts for ages.
Wow.
So do you feel like this is winnable back?
I think so. Yeah. I guess, like I said, a Democrat held it for 30 years. There's no reason a Democrat can't hold it again.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a campaign team? Do you have people working with you, for you?
Yeah, I do. We have a team of, I think it's about 8 people.
Great.
Yeah, we meet every 2 weeks. I actually have a Zoom with them later tonight. I'm excited to unpack everything that happened this
weekend.
Every
2 weeks. Yeah. We need to think about that. We're meeting every week.
I don't know if we need to think about that.
Maybe we need to meet daily. So many things happen so fast.
How big are your campaign teams?
Oh, God. What do we have? 6, 7?
Yeah, we get about 7. But then we also have a pool of volunteers who signed up early of about 50 who are ready to knock doors and write postcards and make calls and do all sorts of other things that we need.
Yeah.
So we put the call out for volunteers early, and now we have a deep bench that we're excited to capitalize on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. My main campaign team is about 8 people, but there's a few dozen volunteers waiting in the wings, too.
That's awesome.
Good. That's cool.
That's awesome. You have run before, like you said. You ran for city council before. How did that go?
Well, I had a great time. I didn't really know what I was doing.
Okay.
And I was basically all by myself.
Yes.
Other than having the support of my wife. I knocked on doors. I went out to all the public events that I could find.
Now, is it like Greenwood City Council where it's a nonpartisan race and anybody can run?
That's right. It's nonpartisan.
So you have like 4 or 5 different candidates all running for the same position.
Yeah. In my case, it was 3, but actually my city councilman had decided to run for mayor. So it was an open seat.
Yeah.
So there was no incumbent.
Mm-hmm. So you take what you learn from there and you're going to try for now the state Senate.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Why state Senate, not House or other positions that are open up in your district?
Well, I looked into the other positions and I honestly like everyone else that represented me. You know, my school board member is good. My state House representative is Rosalind Henderson Myers, and she's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. She's great.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, it's good to hear somebody who is unhappy with the status quo and wants to make a change and be the change, not just complain about things all the time. So, you know, hats off to you, man. Kudos.
Yay.
Thank you.
And you know, we want to encourage others to run for office. Filing opens on Saturday, March 16th, and goes on for 2 weeks through to, I believe it's through April 1st, Monday, April 1st. So noon on the 16th through noon on April 1st, run for office. Take a look at what's open in your area. You don't need to have the expertise or have run a dozen times before. We truly need citizens to rise up and take that chance, just like Sevi did. Just like Jamil did, just like I have. We want you to be that choice on the ballot. It is a shame where more than half of the House positions in South Carolina went uncontested in 2022.
Yeah.
And we need to fix that. And I don't think it was that bad in the Senate. Senate's team seemed to attract competition, but still you want to make sure that every seat gets challenged by somebody. And the help and the funds are out there for you. All you have to do is step up and ask.
That's
right. And I actually want to point out Senate District 12 really needs someone to run for. That's Scott Talley's district, but he is moving away. So that's an open seat. So it might be easier to win than some of the other ones.
Oh, wow. Mm.
And that's a wrap for this episode of Black, White, and Blue in the South. But that's not the end of our conversation with Sevi Alvarez, candidate for South Carolina State Senate District 11. Come back next week as Sevi joins us for a discussion about President Biden's speech he gave in South Carolina, a speech we were on hand to witness in person, plus a number of news articles that are bound to shock you. We hope you've enjoyed what you've heard. Please, y'all, take a quick minute and leave us a rating using your favorite podcast app and give us a review of this show. If you do, we'll donate $5 to the RNC Ex-Employees Relief Fund, as a whole bunch of them were just let go to make room for Trump's family members. If you're a blue dot in a red sea, keep the faith, keep up the hard work. Change only happens over many years of work and dedication, and it can get started with you running for local office. Many people will be glad that you did.
The end.
The preceding podcast is a product of Big Media and copyright 2024, all rights reserved.